In all seriousness, we're going to be looking at 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verses 1 through 18. And the title of this is called Noble Christian Duty. You know, all of us are nobles. It doesn't necessarily mean when you look it up, a noble person is that of caliber of a noble birth. But we are birthed through being born again spiritually. John chapter 3, verse 3. You must be born again. And so there is a time when we are born of water, and there is a time when we are born of the Word of God. So looking back at 1 and 2 Thessalonians, briefly, because it might have been for some of you, it might have forgot. I forget too. 1 Thessalonians was written to comfort because there were some that were confused about the day of the Lord. The day of the Lord happens right after the rapture, and that happens right when the tribulation occurs, all the way through the time of the kingdom and to the new heavens and earth. So there was a confusion there, and some people were upset, and there were false teachers coming in. I tell you what, there are a lot of false teachers out there today. They come in all sizes and shapes. They're out to get you. And Satan will never leave you alone because you're a child of God. We looked at that in Sunday school about our spiritual battles. And one of them is I had to face one this morning. I had three different things going on at one time. I had to make sure I was checking my watch, and I don't wear a watch. But fortunately, I have clocks at home. I have, you know, I have a mental clock that gets me up early, early in the morning. And I know I was raised from the old school. You get up and you get busy, but you get busy the right way, okay? And you plan things, and then as a Christian later on, you start focusing on God's time and your time together as you run the race, as you walk along life's narrow way, because narrow is the way and broad is the way. It's easy to get sidetracked. It's easy to go on a rabbit trail. So, and then 2 Thessalonians was written because there were more issues. Remember, 1 Thessalonians was written from Athens 3 weeks after Paul had been there. He had to leave because of opposition. He eventually went to Berea. He went to Athens. He sent Timothy and Silas back to Thessalonica with a first letter. And then eventually Paul went to Corinth and he wrote the 2 Thessalonians because there were issues. One of them, as we're going to look at today, is that you have people thought that Christ had already come back. People had already sent letters, false teachers, because false teachers, they're all about the popularity. They're all about, I'm going to be number one. They're not satisfied with being a number two. I think all of us, you know, can work either as a number one or number two, even a number three, even down to a number 10. We're all servants of God, right? So you had issues with false letters coming in saying Christ has already come back. You know what? You don't have to worry about working. You can just sit back and take it easy. There was a group of people back in the 70s. I forgot who they were. I don't think it really matters. But actually, they sat on top of the rooftops and they put on white sheets. I think that's a little confusing there. And of course, the Lord didn't come back. You got all kinds of crazy cults out there thinking that Jesus came back. They put themselves in the seat of Jesus, and they think that they're the author of Jesus. And we still have the problem, even back in the 70s, as we have of today. And so, moving right along here. So, the letter was written, it was delivered, and here we go. Chapter 3, and it says, finally, brethren, Paul is concluding with his epistle, pray for us. You know, we need to have prayer. I remember at about the same time back in the early 70s, you know, it was a big thing about prayer. And there was a hymnal that we have in our hymns called Day by Day, a Prayer. It says, day by day, O dear Lord, these things I pray, to see thee more clearly, love thee more dearly, follow me more nearly, day by day. You know, and then you had the false professionals come along And it was, they put out a play called Godspell back in the early 70s. I'm saying this to an older crowd that we have here this morning. And it was actually put out by Stephen Schwartz and Michael Mitchell back in 1971. And that play actually was more Antichrist. It was a beautiful musical. But like I said, you have to check out some of these authors and musicians, what they get into, their philosophies. And Godspell, as you remember that, back in the early 70s, they did not believe in a resurrection. And also they preached the social gospel in that play. Beautiful song, it sounds like, with Day by Day by Godspell, but it's no good, no good. We do have a hymn called Day by Day, a prayer on page in our hymn books here. And I thought I had it, but I don't have it with me on here right away. But anyway, it's in our hymn books, Day by Day of Prayer by Richard Schuster, and it was put out in the 13th century. And so it was a very good song. Problem is people take the word of God and they twist it. And that was the problem that Paul was going to, like what we're going through today. He says, he's saying, pray for us because we're in a spiritual battle. He says that the word of the Lord may run swiftly. And, you know, we have the word of the Lord at that time. And they were looking at, you know, how the word of the Lord prospereth us. And Isaiah 55, 10 through 11 says, whereas the rain comes down and the snow from heaven and do not return there, but water the earth and make it bring forth fruit and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word go as it goes forth from my mouth, that it shall not return to me void. And I pray this week that the word of God has not returned to us void, that we've been able to use that as our armor. You know, we have the shield of faith, we have the word, we have the sword of the spirit, so we can fight our enemy. But it shall not, the word of the Lord shall accomplish what the word of God says. The Lord says, what I please, and it shall prosper in the thing that it does. Also, the word of God, not only does it prosper us, but it helps us to endure. Remember, I'm not talking about a prosperity gospel that is of the devil. And in Isaiah 47 and 8, it says, since you have purified your souls and obeying the truth of the Spirit and sincere love of the brethren, love one another fervently with a pure heart, having been born again, not of corruptible seed, but incorruptible through the word of God, which we preach to you, which lives and abides forever, because all flesh is grass, and all glory of man is a flower of the grass. The grass withers and the flower falls away, but the word of the Lord delivers, it endures forever. And yet we have, today we have snow out there, right? What happened to all the pretty flowers and everything that we had outside just not long ago, right? But yet that will come back up again because it's a sign of the resurrection. This is a time of snow. I'm looking at, you know, though our sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Think about the snow. Look at all the good things that God has for us, except, you know, we're concerned about people shoveling snow, having heart attacks this time of year. But you know what? We have something we can look for, all the good things that we're concerned about with the word of God. So it abides and endures forever. So he says here, finally, brethren, pray for us that the word of the Lord runs swiftly. And it has the idea of Olympian tenure here. It has the idea that it runs its due course. We're running the race, like it says in the Hebrews, which we'll read here in a minute. But the idea of running that, giving its free course, that we are number one, focused, number two, active, number three, strong, number four, urgent, number five, unflinching, number six, vigorous, and number seven, powerful. We have the power of Christ that's in us that helps us to do things every day because, again, we have a spiritual battle that we work out. We see that we are as sinners, that we need to run that course from sin and enslavement, from unjust treatment from others, from guilty conscience. We get that under the blood, from ignorance, from immoral and evil behavior, and from worldliness. So there are just some ideas of things that we all go through every day. Philippians 2, 12 and 13 says, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. So that means we need to walk circumspectly, has the idea of using our time wisely. For it is of God who works in you both to will and to do his good pleasure. So our goal today is to work out our salvation with knowing that we're pleasing him and that we do the desires that we give ourselves, the work of the Lord in our heart. He will give us the desires of our heart. So it will be a pleasure, okay? The right kind of pleasure, not the worldly pleasure that has out there. So we need to pray for us that the word of the Lord runs swiftly and to be glorified just as it is with you. And we may be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men. So the idea here is unreasonable goes back even to Jude, goes back to hidden reefs or hidden rocks, called shipwrecks. You know, we are our own ship. We're our own vessels. But yet there are people out there today that will harm us to do malicious things. Even they don't sometimes understand what they're doing because they're so upset or so full of hate, and they just lash out at you. Happens to me a lot when you're going out there. And I told the Sunday school classes that, you know, one of the ways of dealing with people is like, what can I do for you? You know, I come here because I care about you and I love you. I want to share some good news. Well, I don't want that. You know, you can take that and get out of here. And I'm like, well, praise God. You know, I don't say anything back, you know, and I just shake the snow off my shoes and I just walk on, you know. I mean, what are you going to say? I don't want to get into a verbal or a physical fight because it never comes out to be any good. And we have to watch out for those who are even within church, who are without fear, serving only themselves. There are clouds without water, it says in Jude, carried about with winds. Late autumn trees without fruit, twice dead, pulled up by roots, raging waves of the sea, foaming up in their own shame. The idea of the foam that washes up on the shore, a lot of that is pollutants. So through life, all they do is just basically foam up and they get upset. They're counterfeits. And up in their own shame, wandering stars to whom is reserved in the blackness of darkness forever. So the enemy is out there. And just as a reminder to us all, by the grace of God, says, for we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers in darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts, wickedness, and heavenly places in Ephesians 6:12. So there are different ranks of order. It's a military term that Paul is using, from generals all the way down to privates. I don't have time to get into it, but when you deal with wicked people, always remember in the background, there's Satan. If anybody's ever worked with puppets before, you know, you have hand puppets and you got puppets with strings that you pull on. Well, you know, they're just being played by Satan. They don't realize it, but it's a spiritual battle. And it's intense out there. And you all know what I mean. So we have to do like it says in verse 2, and that we may be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men, for do not have the faith. Verse 3, but the Lord is faithful, thank God for that, who will establish you and guard you. The word establish means to strengthen, secure, make firm, and set fast. In other words, you'll be unmovable. And the idea is to keep, that means to guard yourself. So we need to have that guard up all the time, you know. And even though when life can be hectic sometimes, especially this time of year, you know, talking about Jesus, talking about Christmas, it's that time of year. And so, you know, think about sometimes just singing some songs, Christmas songs, get you in the spirit or the mood. There's some good Christian songs and bring in the cheer, happiness, and joy. Nothing wrong with that. But be careful. Stay away from those things can draw you away. There's so much worldliness during Christmas. You have Santa Claus, nothing against Santa, but unfortunately he makes himself like God. He knows when you're naughty or nice and so on and so forth. He's not an omnipotent God. My wife said about Santa a long time ago about our kids, he's not Jesus. He's just like a clown in a suit. You know, he's kind of a cute kind of clown. But, you know, we have to be careful with kids because kids are so pliable, especially some of us who are raising kids. Some of us have grandchildren. You have to be careful. And God has given, thank God, mothers here as well as dad wisdom. Know the difference between, you know, I'm not going to knock Santa Claus up and beat him up, but, you know, got to be careful. Pray for Santa, by the way. He needs to lose some weight so he can get down the chimney, right? So whatever that means. Okay, so verse 4. So we need to stay away from those who do wrong, harm us during the holidays. But verse 4 says this, and we have confidence in the Lord concerning you both that you will do and will do the things which we have commanded you. I like this because what Paul was saying to the church at Thessalonica, look, there's going to be opposition. There's going to be issues. There's going to be this, that, and the other. You're just young in the Lord. You're wet behind the ears. But I like what it says in 2 Peter 5 through 7 says, but also for this very reason, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue. And virtue obviously means your morals. And virtue, knowledge. And to knowledge, self-control. And to self-control, perseverance. And to perseverance, godliness. Godliness, brotherly kindness, and brotherly kindness, love. So as you're growing in the Lord, you're adding on to these things into your life. So I remember a long time ago when I was a baby Christian, I learned a lot of things, sometimes the hard way. Even as an older person of faith, I'm still learning things. And sometimes it's the hard way because every trial, remember, trials are things that God allows and happens to you. And then tribulations are things that happen because of the sin-cursed world. We're always learning. And that's always a good thing because my pastor told me years ago, no Christian has ever arrived. We're all still learning. We're all under his grace. And then we have the peace and we have God's mercy to help us along here. Verse 5 says, now may the Lord direct your hearts into the love of God, which is, and into patience of Christ. So God wants to direct our hearts. That's where we get our word here, where we get our word to opening up the veins in your body. Let's say if you have a heart issue, you have some people have a blockage in their veins. It has the idea of opening up that course to let you flow through, okay? A lot of times, you know, people get themselves in trouble medically and they have to go in and do surgery and open up the arteries in your heart. And so God's saying, look, you might be clogged up, you know, you might have issues breathing, you might have, you know, headaches and pains and this, that, and the other. He's saying, look, you need to get in some help. You know, we look at churches sometimes as being spiritual hospitals where, you know, the doctor, the great physician is our Lord Jesus Christ. He comes in. And we all can be very thankful today for the great medical facilities that we have, for the doctors, people here who have had medical experiences that know when there are signs coming up to take care of one another. Some people here wish they were young enough to take care of others. But then you have others here that have done so much to help others because, you know, if they could, they would, and they did. And we've been blessed by that. So verse 6, moving along here, says, but we command you, brethren, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you withdraw from every brother who walks disorderly. And not according to the tradition which was received from us. That word disorderly has the idea of a military term. When I was in the military, starting out with boot camp, you better be straight in line. You better march when you're told to march. You better stop when you're told to stop. If you didn't, then you know you better be pretty strong too, mentally and physically. I wasn't saved then, spiritually. But if you didn't behave yourself, you end up doing 50 push-ups. And if the instructor came up to you and didn't like the way you're looking at you, he'd be shouting in your face, get all over you, okay? And what I was told before I went to the military, look, you need, one, to be in shape so you know what you're getting into, and two, in case you're in warfare, and this is where I'm going with this, okay? We all need to band together as brothers and sisters in Christ. We need to work together, because if not, that's Satan's main goal, is to tear down this church little bit by little. He's not going to tell you what he's doing. He's a deceiver, and he's out, and he's got a mark on you. He wants to take you down. But what he cannot do is do anything to unto you unless God allows, and God's not going to do that because God's in control, right? One. And two, he is your defender of the faith. But three, we have a what? A will. We can say yes or no to him. So we need to remember with our commander in chief that we need to work together, just like it was in the military, because there is a warfare going on. There's a spiritual battle going on. Just like families need to stick together, church, our church, and other people in Christ need to stick together. Verses 7 through 9 say this. It goes like this: for you yourselves know how you ought to follow us. Okay? For we were not disorderly amongst you, nor did we eat anybody's bread for free of charge. In other words, Paul was a tent maker. I've worked jobs. I've worked 40-hour jobs in pastor churches. Okay? And I've, you know, I understand where Paul's coming from. Where God has called you, he will never leave you dry or in a high place, so to speak. But Paul was like a tent maker. He went around and he worked. And there were churches that where he, like in Ephesus, where he wrote the book of Revelation, we're going to look at next week, Lord willing, he didn't have to work there at that church. But he got a lot done. He did what the Lord told him to do. So the disorderly ones were the ones who would not work, that were thinking, okay, you know, Jesus has already come back, so what does it matter anyway? I can just sit around and do nothing. We're going to look at that in a minute here, how that's all kinds of wrong. But it says here, nor did we eat anybody's bread free of charge, but we worked with labor and toiled day and night, that we might not be a burden to any of you. And so, going on to verse 9, not because we do not have authority, but to make ourselves an example of how you should follow us. So Paul's saying, you know, as I was an example of Christ, follow the Christ that's in me. A lot of people get confused with that. What do I follow, Apostle Paul or Jesus Christ? No, he's saying, follow Christ that's in me. We're following all. I follow you all as you're following Christ. Okay, you follow me as I follow Christ. So we need to have good examples. I was going to say young bloods, but our young people today, they need to see good examples. Unfortunately, we're seeing less and less of them. And I tell people all the time, never put somebody up on a pedestal, because they could fall down too. Put Jesus Christ up there first. And then follow him, okay? And follow good examples, okay? Even if you don't have any good example in your life, you know, just remember that God can also raise up other examples in your life to follow. So it says here in Hebrews 6:10, for God is not unjust to forget your work and labor of love, which you have shown toward his name, and that you have ministered to the saints and do so minister. So one, it said the church. Number two, in all things, whatsoever you do, do in word and deed, do all things in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. So, you know, we just celebrated, it seemed like Thanksgiving, and then the snowstorms came. And now already Christmas is here already. You know, you're like, oh man, I got to put out Christmas cards, I got to need to get Christmas presents. you know, the cycle goes on. And so we should be followers of Christ as he has been. So verse 10, for even when we were with you, we commanded you this: if anyone will not work, neither shall he eat. For we hear that some who walk among you are disorderly matter, not working at all. You know, I've always said this about work. Here's some principles about work. And I know some of you have worked jobs. Bless your heart. Some of you are still working jobs. Whatever. But you're from the old school. Some of you are from the young school. But number one, you show up when you're supposed to. I always say show up a little early before you're supposed to. That way you got yourself covered. Number two, do quality work. And it goes into ministry too. You do that quality. It's not about the quantity of time that you have. It's about the quality. So you want to make the best that you can do. Number three, you do it as unto the Lord. So you're doing it as unto the Lord, whether you're at home, whether you're driving, whatever you're doing. Number four, even when the boss isn't watching them, and you know, here it's the Lord Jesus Christ. If you're working a secular job, and I know you folks here, you do it as unto the Lord, but you want to please your boss. You know, God takes authority very seriously. And number six is work with a good attitude. Nothing worse than working in a job and having a bad attitude, but you do the best you can, right? You're like, Lord, give me the grace to go through this. I don't like so-and-so, but I love him. I need to do right. And eventually, it can work out. And work fast. Work, you know, not as the saying goes, you know, the faster I go, the further I get behind. But you work fast. You don't work as some lazy people I've met. Just take their good old time and expect somebody else to do the job for them. Eventually, they will be found out, and they will, you know, especially on the job, people will not like you. Take the initiative. Do something before you're asked to do. Just, you know, everybody here. The other day we were setting up for Christmas. People like running around doing everything. I didn't have to, it was great. I didn't have to say anything. Say, were you doing anything? Yes, I was. I could not sit there and tell everybody to do something. It doesn't work that way. I had to lead. I had to get going. And everybody else, we have leaders in here, and they knew what they were doing. So be willing to get your hands dirty. That's something else too. You know what? I don't wonder. I never could figure out people who whiners and complainers. They can never get their hands dirty. You know, if you're from the old school, which everybody is, except for little Axe here, he's looking around like, I don't know what you're talking about. But give the poor kid a break, right? He's going to learn from dad because dad's made of the stuff. So is mom. Good people, hardworking people. I love the Lord, and I had no problem with, I'm sure Axe will be a fine young man when he gets older. And so, so we're looking at not working at all in verse 16, and there are busybodies that has the idea of people who are just staying around and doing all the talking, and they're not really doing anything, doing trifling things, needless things, getting into other people's business. If you ever get into somebody who's a busybody, they talk or they're just snoopers, the best way to deal with them is just be very frank with them. You know, either say something in a loving spirit or two, don't say anything to them, because eventually they'll just pitter away. As my mother would say, they'll just wander away, you know, because they'll look for somebody else, you know. And so the best thing to do is just keep your mouth shut. If you know that kind of person, if your spirit does not bear witness with them, just be careful what you say. And I like what it says in verse 12. It says here that now those who are in such weak command and exhort through our Lord Jesus Christ, we work in quietness and eat their own bread. So in other words, with people, you know, it's better just to be quiet and just do what you need to do. There were people that were not working at that time, unfortunately, because of these false letters that were going around and these false teachers going around. And yet Paul's just saying, just go to work, do what you're doing. You don't have to make a big deal about what you're doing. Just stay quiet, and God will give you the peace. God will give you the desires of your heart, and God will give you that joy. And we learn a lot by listening to what's going on. Verse 13 says, "But as for you, brethren, do not grow weary in world doing." And that has the idea of becoming tired or weary, to lose heart or to even despair. You know, this time of year, people get so busy. And sometimes I think, you know, I tell Kimberly, you know, some people get so busy just doing nothing because they're just doing this. They have to keep busy to be busy, if that makes sense. It's one thing, some of you here are very busy because you have schedules you made. You know, you've made it a point to help out society and help people out. I got that. That's different. But be careful of that. It says in Galatians 6:9, "Let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we not lose heart." And what I tell people all the time, wait upon the Lord. If you become weary in well-doing, rest. Rest in the Lord. Wait upon the Lord, and He will give you your strength. You know, Isaiah chapter 40, verse 41. So, also here we have Hebrews 12, 1 and 2. "Therefore, we also, since we were surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run the endurance of the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who with the joy that was set before him endured the cross, as we have the joy and we endure our crosses today, despising the shame." In other words, don't get around things that will shame you. "And has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him who endured such hostility from sinners against himself, lest you become weary and discouraged in your souls. You have not yet resisted to the bloodshed, striving against sin." So keep going on. Verses 14 and 15 says, "And if anyone does not obey our word of this epistle, note that person and do not keep company with him, that he may be ashamed." In other words, you know, this is something I learned a long time ago. One pastor said this. He said, you know, if you have somebody coming over for dinner and they're just a lazy bum, right? Yeah, you can invite them over for dinner, but also share with them the gospel by saying this: "You don't work, you don't eat. So you know what? You need to have a seat. We're going to go ahead and eat." And he said he actually did that one time. But before they sat down and eat, he sat down with this person. He says, "You know what? You need to get a job. You need work, okay?" And there are many people out there today, unfortunately, because of COVID, aren't working. A lot of people are just staying home. And you know the mess that's caused. But the point is that person repented, this pastor told me, and he invited him for dinner. And he learned a lesson. You don't work, you don't eat. So, and yet, you know, we try, you know, with this. Verse 15, "Yet do not count him as an enemy, but admonish him as a brother." A good verse here is found in Genesis 2:15. Somebody says to you, "I don't have to work. I can live off a government dole, whatever it is." And I'm not casting a blanket on that, saying there's some people that need some help. Churches should have done that, but a lot of churches don't do that. And there are a lot of churches that do help. It says in Genesis 2:15, "The Lord God took man and placed him over the Garden of Eden and to work and to watch over it." So I tell people there's two things. One, we are created to work. Number two, we are created also to have fellowship with God. Unfortunately, people have put God out of the picture and decided to live an ungodly life. Therefore, they become confused and weary in life, and then they break down and they don't work after a while because they've given up. So verse 16 says this as we're closing with benediction. "Now may the Lord of peace himself give you peace always in every way. The Lord be with you all." And I thought about the Lord of peace give you peace. Back on the bulletin board back there, we have a story about I Heard the Bells on Christmas Day. It was put out by Henry Longfellow. Beautiful song in our hymn. And actually, he was married twice. First time his wife died at childbirth. And then next time around, he was married. Unfortunately, his wife's dress caught fire and she was severely burned and she died. And I was thinking, my goodness. And then there was penned words I heard on Christmas Day. I'll just quote from here. And in despair, in verse 3, I bowed my head. There is no peace on earth. I said, for hate is strong and mocks the song of peace on earth, goodwill to men. So an honorable person would think about Christ and his peace that we should have towards people and the peace he gives to us, even though there is no peace in this society. Verse 4, yet peal the bells more loud and deep. God is not dead, nor doth he sleep. And the wrong shall fail, and the right prevail. With peace on earth, goodwill to men. Then verse 5, it says this. Then ringing, singing on its way, the world revolved from night to day. A voice of chime, a chant sublime of peace on earth, goodwill to men. And as I'm closing here, there's also a story about there. It's a true story. And this song ties in right from what this man had penned. There was a story about a Christmas truth that really happened back in December 24th, 1914, excuse me, I'll get it right. Christmas Eve, they were, the English were fighting the Germans in Belgium, and the English were told to help. So they got involved with the war, and they had trench warfare. And then on Christmas Eve, about five months after World War I started, there was a German who waved a white flag in the trenches. And they basically said, you know, we want to have peace. We want to celebrate Christmas. Actually, it really happened for a whole day. What they did is they put their guns down. The people from both sides came out of the trenches. They were laughing and singing, both sides. Of course, the generals, when they heard about this, were very upset. And they said, we're not going to allow this to ever happen again. But they had 24 hours. A piece. They played soccer together, or as we call it, football today, in the English terms. Also, they swapped cigarettes, plum puddings, and even helmets. And they were singing and laughing. And but sure enough, when the generals found out, the shooting started up again. World War I didn't finish for another 3 years. And there were still millions of people who died. If only people knew what peace on earth meant, you know. And Paul, going back here, says, but the Lord of peace give you peace always and every which way. The Lord be with you all. The salutation with Paul with my own hand. In other words, his own handwriting. That was his signature in his letters. They could tell if it was a fake or not, which is a sign of every epistle. So I write, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. So how are we to live a noble Christian life? We need to pray for one another. We are nobility. We are children of the King. And then we see we need the word of the Lord, number two, would have free course in our life. So we need to run our race with that free course. Let not sin hinder us. Number three, unreasonable and wicked people. There's going to be spiritual battles where we need to be overcomers. Number four, establish our hearts and direct our hearts. So we need to be taking on that as a military term, to get serious, to fight for one another, to stand with one another, to be there for one another, to love one another. Number six, be a good worker for Christ. Do all that you can for him. Remember, you're doing it as unto the Lord. Number seven, stay away from busybodies and evil people, because they'll just bring you down. They'll make you look foolish. Be careful what you say. Be careful also, don't let people know everything about you. Just be careful. And then, and be good examples. And don't be, number eight, don't be weary in well-doing. Just stop and rest in the Lord. I know it's very hard at times when things just build up and the tension's there and you're being hammered away by life's problems. Just rest. And if you mess things up because you just got so tired and confused about some things, get it under the blood. It's okay. Get back up. Proverbs says, righteous man, what, falls down, a woman, and gets back up. Don't worry about it. God's got your back. And admonish one another in love. Correct one another in love. And somebody said, what about church discipline? That's not mentioned in Matthew. That's all about loving somebody back. It's not about beating somebody out and kicking somebody out. Unless that person doesn't want to hear you and he just want to walk away, you know what? You did all you could do. And then number 10, obviously, is to be at peace. Be at peace with yourself. Oh, my goodness. That is so important because, you know, we all can go ahead and put on a fake smile, pretend everything's okay, but we're crying inside. We're so upset. Sometimes we feel like we're just tormented. But God can give you peace and he can give you rest. And remember, we're saved by grace through what? Peace. And a lot of times Paul put that in his letters. He's telling the church of Thessalonica, be at peace. You know, grace and peace be with you in the Lord Jesus Christ.